great to have you with us for Digital Church. If you'd like to join us in person on a Sunday morning, we'd love to have you there too. We're using a booking system, so access that through Church Suite if you're familiar. Or if you're a guest or you're checking us out or you don't understand it all, get in touch through maybridge.org.uk and we'd happily help you get booked in. Now, we're continuing our journey through Matthew's Gospel. Today in chapter 6, we're still in the Sermon on the Mount, some of Jesus' most famous teaching. And we see that Jesus begins talking about fake religion. Fake religion, not the phrase that he uses, but that's exactly what he's getting at. Jesus' original audience, when he spoke the words we're about to read, were a few thousand, probably peasants, gathered by the Sea of Galilee in northern Israel, a very religious place, all considered, and people could spot fake religion a mile off. They saw it every day. People who said one thing and did another, people who preached about doing this rule and that rule and yet weren't very nice people, those who seemed more into appearances than truth. And you may have experienced people like that yourself, and I'm sorry if you feel like you've ever experienced that at Maybridge. That's totally not what we want to be about at all. But the interesting thing is, Jesus does not address the crowd by saying, hey, you know, stay away from fake religious people. They're terrible. Poor, stay away from them. No, no. He addresses the poorest people in society, the people on the bottom rung, and says to them, essentially, don't slip into fake religion. Don't do it. So in Jesus' way of thinking, nobody is immune. Nobody's immune. Fake religion is not just for churchgoers or middle-class Christians or rich people. In fact, even the most hardened atheist can be guilty of fake religion the way Jesus is about to explain it, because fake religion isn't about what you believe or don't believe about God. It's about living in a way that all your behaviour is designed to get respect and praise from other people. And I reckon all of us are vulnerable to that, whatever we say we believe. So let's have a look at what Jesus says. This is just a few verses today, Matthew 6 verses 1 to 4. So I'm going to read the whole thing so you get a sense of the message, and then we're just going to break it down line by line. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in their synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by others. Truly I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Now, the thing we have to say straight away is this passage is not first and foremost about giving money away. It certainly mentions giving, and we will talk about it, but the main point is something else. It's this fake religion thing. Here's that first line again. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. Now, we probably don't use the word righteousness much unless we're talking about self-righteousness, which, of course, is a bad thing. But righteousness just means living in the right way, living in God's ways, and it's meant to be a good thing. Jesus is not at all criticising being righteous. He loves being righteous, and he's not even criticising being righteous in front of people, because lots of living in the right way has to be done in the presence of other people. The problem Jesus is concerned with here is people who are seeking to be righteous just so that other people see it. The original Greek word Jesus uses to describe this is theomai, and it's the word from which we get the word theatre. It's about putting on a performance that's not authentic. And of course, there's loads of ways to do this. There are a million and one ways we might try to show off our righteousness, so to speak, to impress other people. And Christians can be terrible for it. You know, it could be praying with lots of long words that sound like they're from the 18th century. It could be showing off how much of the Bible we know. It could be making sure that everybody knows how many church activities we're involved with. It could even be just name-dropping the famous Christian leader that we happen to know a little bit. And of course, people who are not Christians do this too. Virtue signalling seems to be the way that this comes out at the moment in the mainstream. You know, when somebody announces to the world how deeply and courageously they support a cause that is almost universally popular. But it can be lots of other things too. You know, like many people, I'm sure, I like people to think that I'm intelligent or funny, which may be hard to believe based on the evidence, but I know I'm not the only person who has that battle. And the question is, why do we do this? Why do we want other people to think that we're greater than we are, that we're better than we know that we really are? At the heart of each one of us, there's a desire to show someone somewhere that we're worthy, that we're beyond condemnation, beyond reproach, that we're valid and legitimate and worth something. We're often, I think, subconsciously trying to impress God, whether we know it or not, whether we say we believe in God or not. But I also think we want to impress other people, because the second best thing to getting a thumbs up from God is to get it from other people. The people around Jesus when he spoke would have all believed that if they lived the right way, did the right things, were basically good, nice people, then God would one day reward them. And here Jesus is really clear. God doesn't reward fake religion. He's not interested. But the way Jesus phrases this reminds everybody why. God is a father, he reminds us. He's not a slot machine where you put in the right thing and then you get out something that's about worth what you put in. He's not a vague force that sort of controls things but is impersonal. He's not a strict headmaster figure waiting to see if you get the right exam results and you follow all the rules. No, God's a father. He's a person, which means he can be related to and known. But more than that, he's specifically a father, which means he has a love and an investment in his people that is given, not earned. And if you remember that this is who God is, and this is what God is like, why would you spend your time trying to impress other people who can't really reward you anyway when it comes down to it? Jesus expands this more in the next verse. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honoured by others. Truly I tell you, they've received their reward in full. A number of times in my life I've given money to things completely anonymously. And it's amazing how every time I do, there's always a tiny little moment of hesitation because I think, oh, but I really want somebody to know. I want somebody to know how nice I'm being, how kind and generous I'm being by doing this. I remember when I was 17, there was a girl in my youth group who was a bit hard up and she needed some money for something. And I had a part-time job at the time, so I was fine. I had quite a lot of disposable income for a teenager. And so I stuck 50 quid in an envelope and posted it to her anonymously. And a few days later, she mentioned that somebody had sent her this money and she was really happy about it. It was really helpful for her, made a big difference. And I had to bite my tongue because I really wanted some credit. Even if not from her, I wanted somebody to know that I'd done it. Maybe I'm getting my reward in full now, 20 years later, by telling everybody else about it on here. But I really wanted somebody to know how virtuous I had been. In Jewish thinking, giving money to those in need was seen as very important. People thought, you know, it could even make up for bad things you'd done in the past. It could win you God's favour. And of course, those who happened to be rich were in a better position to do it. People didn't normally announce their giving with trumpets, but during religious festivals, when there were huge feasts and lots of people were around, sometimes trumpets would be played. And so they would be a great moment to show off. If that's what you wanted to do with your giving, with your generosity, that was the moment to do it. And of course, it wasn't done online or with a credit card. It was cold, hard cash. So it was very visible. Anybody who wanted to could make sure as many people as possible could see them very visibly, very publicly giving to the poor. And Jesus calls these people hypocrites. The original Greek word in this case is hypocrites, I can never pronounce that right, which literally means actors. These were people not being themselves, but playing a role, like in the theatre. They're not just people trying to help the poor, they're looking particularly to get praise and respect, and basically they're paying money to do it. And this was either in the synagogue, you know, the religious context, or in the street, the everyday context. And Jesus' comment on this is, they have received their reward in full. If your aim is to be rewarded with the praise of other people and you get the praise of other people, well, that was what you wanted. So, you know, job done. God isn't going to reward you any more than that. It's what you're after. But God is concerned with the heart. And this is so important to understanding why everything Jesus says is not just moral teaching. Some people would think about giving to the poor and they say, you know, well, of course, it would be wonderful if everyone who gave money away had totally pure motives. Of course, that would be good. But isn't the main thing that money is given in the first place? Does the motivation really matter as long as money is going to a good cause? Well, obviously, when money and resources head in the direction of people in need, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. But think about this. The fact that Jesus cares about what's going on in your heart when you give shows that he cares more about you than your money. The fact that Jesus cares about what's going on in your heart when you give shows that he cares more about you than about your money. There'll always be people in the world, sometimes very religious people, who will just say, give more money to this, give more money to that, come on, more money. A little bit like Bob Geldof at Live Aid, if anyone remembers that, give us your money. I missed a word out of that quote. And in that case, it's all about the cause and making sure that the cash comes in. But Jesus doesn't talk that way. He's not so concerned about your money, he's concerned about you. Elsewhere in the Bible, it talks about the riches that God has at his disposal, and in one place it poetically says, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God doesn't need your money, he doesn't need you to give anything, which means he's completely free to care about what's going on in your soul when you give or don't. It's more about you than your cash. And that's why Jesus says what he says next in verses 3-4. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. This phrase about not letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing was probably a common phrase at the time. But by saying this, Jesus is actually going even further than saying, you know, don't announce, you know, how generous you are to everybody else. He's saying, don't even announce it to yourself. Your left and right hand are both a part of you. They're both your hands. So don't announce your generosity to yourself. Don't have the trumpets playing in your own mind. Don't revel in your own goodness. If your generosity is genuinely motivated by love, not only will you not care about anyone else knowing, you won't even spend time thinking about how righteous and great you are in doing it. You'll just be glad for whoever benefits. In a sense, you'll be secret about your giving, even to yourself. And for me, this is the really uncomfortable bit. Like most people, Naomi, my wife, and I, we give money to things. It's all done through online banking. And the only people who would naturally see what we give to anything are people who have to administrate it for church or for various charities and so on. Keeping your generosity secret from other people in a practical sense has never been easier. But you know what? It's really hard not to get out the imaginary trumpets in your own mind. I find that when I give to someone in need, yes, it's a good thing. Yes, that person will benefit regardless of my attitude. But the immediate temptation for me is to feel a tiny sense of superiority. And of course, it's not logical. You know, I'm in a privileged position to give to different things for lots of reasons that are nothing to do with me at all. But I can easily feel like, in giving, that I'm greater than the person who's receiving, that, you know, it's fortunate for them that I'm around. And that's exactly what Jesus is speaking against. As usual, he goes beyond the outward behaviours and penetrates to the heart. You can't just sit in fake religion with Jesus. He's not interested just in doing all the outward stuff. He goes after your soul. There's a little bit of reassurance at the end, though. I say little, it's one sentence, but it says a big thing. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So, you don't go after the praise of other people. You don't even go after the praise of yourself. And if you manage that, then God will reward you. Great. Simple. The thing is, I think if God looked over my life, the number of times when I've been generous without seeking the praise of other people or even myself is pretty low, I am ashamed to admit. There's a lot of change that still needs to happen for me. And this brings us back to the whole righteousness issue. If instead of trying to be righteous yourself, you know, and you know that being righteous is something that God gifts to people who follow Jesus, that changes the whole thing. It's not just a powerful theological idea. It actually shapes your patterns, your thought patterns, and your perspective. You see, if Jesus has already secured righteousness for us through perfectly living out his own teaching and dying and rising again, if he's done that, and if you grab hold of that, the need for praise from other people, or even praise from yourself, just melts away. And that means you're freed up just to be generous out of love, just like God is. It's never going to be perfect in this life, obviously. But fortunately, God loves us, and he loves rewarding us extravagantly. Even though we're imperfect, he loves us, and he loves rewarding us extravagantly. And so basically, there's two approaches that a person could take with all of this. One is the fake religion approach. So you try to be righteous yourself, you know, you work hard, you try and do the right moral outward things, and you focus on praise for yourself, and therefore you get rewarded with the praise of others. But the other much better approach, of course, is following Jesus, where we start by getting our righteousness from Jesus, we live freely in light of it, and we get rewarded by God. Much better. The outward behaviours of these two approaches might be very, very similar, although I think you can tell when someone is doing fake religion and not the real thing. But the difference is huge. If we were to actually follow what Jesus teaches here, to really take to heart what he says, what would happen to how we give? How would it shape our generosity? I came up with a few suggestions. Firstly, Jesus frees you up to give secretly. This is the most obvious thing. If you follow what Jesus says and you aren't bothered about what anyone else thinks or how many people know, you can just freely give. You won't be trapped by the desire to please. If you're bothered about what other people think, you'll always have to give more and more and more to keep up the praise. If you're not, you can just relax and give to things when it's the right amount and at the right time. Secondly, Jesus frees you up to give more. If you believe that the ultimate reward for what you give comes from God and not from the praise of other people or your own self, then God can be trusted to never leave you in his debt. You can give and give and give some more and know that he will provide to meet all your needs. If your motivation for giving is not a performance or a show, if it's real, if it's based on trusting God, you'll always be free to give more and more and to do so with genuine joy. Thirdly, Jesus frees you up to give accountably. Now this might seem like it actually contradicts what Jesus says, but hear me out. We're not supposed to announce our giving all over the place. That's fake religion. But being accountable with a very small number of other people about what you give to is really healthy. Now we're in England, so we like to keep all of our money or our financial affairs very private in general. But if you aren't focused on impressing other people, you're free in the right setting with maybe one or two others to talk about where your money goes. And I actually think we could do with doing that more. I'm convinced that actually a lot of us don't know where to start with giving or generosity, how much might be appropriate or sensible in our situation, because we never discuss it. We maybe haven't ever discussed it with anybody. And you might still think this, well, this sounds like it goes a bit against what Jesus is saying, but consider this. In the passage after this, Jesus is still talking against fake religion, and he moves on to prayer and says, you know, go and pray behind closed doors, go and pray in secret. But none of us thinks that that means all of our prayer should be done in isolation. No, we pray alone and we pray together. The point is not that prayer is somehow better in secret. The point is about not showing off. And the same is true with this. Don't announce your generosity. Don't celebrate yourself. But do be free to have helpful conversations about money with trustworthy people. If you don't need to impress anyone, you're in a much better place to talk honestly. Who else in your life knows right now how much you give and where it goes? And fourth and final thing, Jesus frees you up to give authentically. There's a wonderful, pure joy that comes with giving to the needy just out of love. If you aren't trying to show how great you are to people or show how great you are to yourself or even to God, but you just know that God is loving and generous and you're following him in that without the need for praise or the sound of trumpets, it's so much better than fake religion. It's what God wants for you. He's not really interested in your money, relatively. He's more interested in your heart. No need to be fake. No need for fake religion. Let me pray. Father, thank you that Jesus has purchased righteousness for everyone who follows you. And we don't need to stress about it and worry about it and strive to prove ourselves to ourselves or to other people or even to you. And thank you that in living in the ways of Jesus, we can be freely and authentically generous, free from the trap of fake religion. Help us as a church to move away from it, Lord. Let us be a people of great generosity, just because we know that you love us, and so we can be free to love others. Amen.